Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Lamed Daled in Bechoros. We're back on the Mishnah, Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We begin Bechoros She'achzu Dam. So we start off with an animal that's suffering. Achizas Dam, I don't know what it is. It comes up a number of times. There are chas, some sort of congestion of the blood. Now, you understand, by the way, that I'm not a physician. I don't even play one on television. Like, in other words, I really don't know what it is. But it's an ailment that comes up time and again throughout the Gemara, and somehow the blood gets congested. And there's a way of alleviating the situation through the old fashioned Hakazas Adam, through bloodletting. Bloodletting was the method of choice, the treatment of choice back in the time of the Gemara. Everyone bloodlet, meaning humans, animals. I mean, it was popular. And just with a little needle, and they would just put it in and just let the blood go. And it sounds like I'm very happy that I'm born in this century and not back then. Leech is also, but no, but this was just good old fashioned bloodletting. So whatever it is, whatever this achizas adam is, but the point is that now the animal's suffering, and so you would like to bloodlet in order to relieve some of the pressure of this condition, of this ailment. Okay, now here's the problem. It's the bechor. It's your firstborn. We're talking about animals now. So it's your firstborn. And by you making an incision, right, even if it's a little puncture in the animal, you're causing a wound on the animal. Now, we're going to see over the course of this morning that there's an issur in the Torah of atal samum. You're not allowed to place a blemish on the animal. Now, you're looking forward for that blemish because with that blemish will come the opportunity to eat the animal. Right. Let's assume that there's no Beis HaMikdash. So right now, the only thing left for you to do is wait for it to develop a blemish, but you can't put a blemish on the animal. So now you're waiting. And so what an unbelievable opportunity, because the animal's sick and the way to relieve it is by putting a blemish on the animal, by puncturing the animal to relieve it of its of the pressure of this achizas adam. And so good. So what's my next move? So, what's the next move? Subject to a major debate in the Mishnah in terms of what's going to be your next move. So, right, what Phil raises now is this an issue which I'm not sure about, meaning I wasn't articulate about this. Achizas Hadam, this condition that the animal is currently suffering from, this itself is a blemish. Now, this itself is a blemish. It'll be clear as we go through the Gemara later on this morning. This is some sort of ailment of the animal, which is now makes it a blemished animal. This is not. It's not a trefa, because you don't have for a trefa. You actually need a puncturing or a severing of an organ. Right. This is not that. Yeah, but right. In other words, but it is. In other words, even if we're going to put in the category of mum, I think at best we're going to say it's a mum over. Meaning, I don't think we're going to say it's a mum kavua.
What are you doing by. It's
already mum. So what you're doing is, so Phil already is in tune with what we're going to discuss later this morning. Essentially what you're doing now is you're putting a mum on a mum, meaning it's already a blemished animal. This achizas dam condition is already blemished, and you're already now putting a blemish on top of another blemish. Stay tuned as we're going to discuss that a little bit later on this morning. But right now, Joe, just deal with the facts on the ground. It's suffering from this condition of achizas dam. I want to put a blemish on it, not because I want to eat it, just simply because I want to help alleviate it of its condition. And if I don't do anything, there's a good chance the animal's going to die. Okay, I know I'm making this sound dramatic, but that's basically what's the issue at hand. So the Mishnah says, the Mishnah gives you a number of opinions in terms of what to do. So we start off with first the opinion of Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda says, do nothing. Do nothing. Meaning you cannot put a blemish on this animal. And so according to Rav Yehuda, you just simply leave it alone. Even if this means the animal is going to die, but you cannot put a blemish on this animal. Now, if you take a look at Rashi on the Mishnah, Ein mekizin lo es adam, Rashi writes, v'afilu b'makom she'eino osem mum. Meaning Rav Yehuda's position is an absolute position. He says simply, don't put a blemish on the animal, period. Done. Done and done. And even if what you're about to do is going to heal itself, so you're not even putting a mum kavua on the animal. You're just putting on a mum over. It's a passing blemish, but it'll heal. So I'm not even putting a real blemish on the animal. Rav Yehuda says, don't do that. Why? Rashi goes on to write the Yachol Lachzor Litzrapos Hamakiv Hachim Afarsh Beperakama the Pesachim. In fact, what Rashi is saying over here is what the Gemara in Pesachim says. The Gemara in Pesachim. I forget why. It's the first parak also. I should remember. I forget why this came up in the first parak of Pesachim, but the Gemara over there mentions this Mishnah, and the Gemara over there says, and Rav Yehuda is absolutist on this issue. Meaning you simply cannot put any blemish on. Why? So Rashi over here provides the argument. Mitoch sha'adam ba'ol ha'mamona. Because people get crazy about their money. Okay, which, in other words, if you see your money going away, or if you see a potential loss of money, you start panicking. And basically, the Chachamim are going to deal with, how do I deal with a person who's panicking? So Rav Yehuda's response to the panicker is, you know what, tell him to do nothing. Why? Because Rashi goes on to explain. Look, you say to the person who's right now currently panicking, and so he can't think that straight. I know your animal's about to die. I know your animal's bloodletting. So here's what you can do. You can pierce the animal and you can create an opening for blood to be relieved, but only in a place where the animal, where the blemish is not going to be a permanent blemish. Now, as I'm speaking to you right now, everything's calm, right? We're all calm right now in this room. So the instructions are pretty clear. You understand the instructions. But let's now not talk about a situation where everyone's calm. Let's talk about a situation where your animal's about to die. Right now the pressure's on. And now if I say to you, oh, but wait, you're not going to hear me. So Rav Yehuda says, so you know what? Say to him, don't touch the animal. Okay, make it nice and simple, plain and simple, don't touch the animal. So you see that according to Rav Yehuda, his concern is, if once I allow anything to happen, he's going to go over and beyond what he's allowed to do. Okay, that's opinion number one in the Mishnah. That's Rav Yehuda. The Chacham Amomim Yakez Uvavach Shalo Yeseh Bomom. And then we have Shita number two in the Mishnah, which is the Chachamim, which is, yeah, it's okay, he can make a blemish on the animal. Puncture the animal to relieve the animal of this achizas adam, of this, I'm not speaking from information, but from this high blood pressure, whatever this condition is. But remember, though, make sure that you puncture it in a place where it's going to heal. Don't make a blemish on this animal now. So in other words, puncture it, but in a place where it's not, where it will heal. Rashi says, for example, let's say you cut off a bit of the ear in order to relieve the pressure. You see, that's no good because now you've just made a blemish on the animal and it's not going to grow a new ear. Or let's say, for example, Rashi says you make a split on the lip. That's not something that's going to heal. That's something that's going to stay with the animal forever. So don't do that. But make a puncture in the animal. Now, Rashi over here, an interesting Rashi. Yakiz v'vash lo yisei b'mum. So Rashi here is about to write, you know, the Chachamim fundamentally agree with Rav Yehuda. Fundamentally agree. Rashi says, shelo yachzof v'shelo yivkom ezazno v'ez nivzvasav, sheinasid lachzor litzrapos. The Savri Abanan kol shekein. Rashi over here provides a rationale for the rabbis. Kol shekein. Ilo sharis le b'makum sheino se b'mum, asilamabe b'makumum. Meaning, again, it's a pressure situation. The animal's going to die, right? And if you tell a person, don't do anything, he's just not going to listen. Meaning he's going to say to himself, you know, I know the rabbis told me not to do anything, but the animal's about to die. And again, sympathy for the animal, but right now let's focus more on the loss of money. In other words, I'm going to lose all this money, and so I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. So it's hard, meaning it's really, really hard to fight that Yetzer Hara of, especially when you're about to lose money. So the Chachamim are sensitive to this, and the Chachamim say, you know what? We'll allow you to puncture the animal in a place where it's going to heal. Meaning, it's really the same operating principles of Rav Yehuda. It's just, what concession are we ready to make when a person's in a pressure situation? So whereas Rav Yehuda says, tell the person to do nothing, because if you tell him to puncture, he's going to puncture in a place where it's going to make a mum. So the Chachamim say no. Tell the person to make a puncture where it's not going to make, where it's not going to be a permanent blemish. Otherwise, the person's going to do it anyway.
Isn't this animal considered like a trait by the race since it's going to die soon?
So Hedy raised the issue. So I don't think so, because treifa is a very, very technical definition. Meaning the third parak of Chulin spent in it. It was long. It was over 30 blot of Gemara detailing what is and what isn't a treifa. So even though it's a fatal condition, that's not necessarily treifa. In fact, we saw over there back in Chulin, animal is mesukenis, meaning it's about to die for no other reason than just simply old age. Or That doesn't automatically render the animal a treifa. It just simply means it's on its way out. Here, it is definitely suffering from some sort of ailment, but that doesn't immediately make it a treifa. Treifa is very defined in terms of what is a treifa. The problem is it's a bechor. So even if you do shecht, then no one's allowed to eat it because you can only eat the bechor once it's a baal mum. So now the issue is you're making a mum by treating the animal, by giving therapy to the animal. And so right now we're at position number two, which is the chachamim. Opinion number three of the Mishnah is...
The condition does not make it a baal mum.
So the condition does make it a baal mum, but it's lack of a better term, it's fixable. The animal will heal. It's probably, if we want to put it in any category, probably put in the category of temporary mum. I think it's probably the best place to file it under. File it under temporary mum. And then we have Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yakiz Alfa Pishuo Seba Mum. And Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. Make a blemish. And you know what? Rabbi Shimon's position is even better than that. Make a blemish. And you know what? After all this all said and done, now you can go revisit this animal and take it to an expert, a mumcha, and say, look, animal has a blemish. Wait a second. You're the one who put the blemish on the animal. So anyone want to figure out now what's behind Rabbi Shimon? It's Rabbi Shimon l'shita so. Rabbi Shimon is consistent with what he says throughout all of Shas, which is davar she'eino miskaven. Meaning he had no intent of putting the blemish on the animal for the purpose of putting the blemish on the animal. He was putting the blemish on the animal to relieve it of its discomfort. It's suffering. It's going through this achizas adam. And so you're putting it on in order to relieve it. So Rabbi Shimon says, okay, this was a davar she'eino miskaven. You didn't violate Nisr. I know.
Why doesn't he look at it as though the guy was trying to save his money?
Huh?
Why doesn't he look at it as though the guy was trying to save his money?
Maybe that's true also. But in other words, his main intent, his main purpose was not to put a blemish on the animal. Meaning the Torah says, don't put a blemish on the animal. Komum lo yiebo. We'll talk more about it later this morning. And over here, the Rabbi Shimon says, you only violate Nisr in the Torah when you intend on violating Nisr in the Torah. And here he didn't. Okay, so Psik Reisha. I know.
It may not be
a psik reisha. He may not. There may be a way to do it without making it a mum kavua. Okay. All right. Those are three opinions in the Mishnah. Can we get a fourth opinion? And the answer is yes, because we're going to start the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara now is going to quote a brisa, and the brisa is going to provide us 1, 2, 3, 4 opinions. Okay. We're familiar with already three of the four opinions. Now we go through the Braisa, and we get exposed to all four opinions. Bechor she'achzu dam. So I have this board, Bechor with achizas dam. So with my crack research team over here, any consideration of what this is, what this condition is? Now for the layman, by the way, polycythemia is... High hemoglobin.
Huh? I'm not a vet, but that's not as common as heart failure.
Is there a sickness? Like is the clenched
appendo? Rashi's familiar with this. Yeah.
If the heart is not working well enough, people would get volume overloaded, and now they would just give them diuretic that diuresis them. But back in those days, they didn't have that, so they would just volume by taking fluid by blood and.
Okay. B'chor she'achzu dam akizin lo sadam. B'chor she'achzu dam akizin lo sadam, b'makom she'ein osin b'amum, ve'ein akizin lo dam b'makom she'osin b'amum, div Reb Meir. Okay. So in the Braisa, so first opinion number one is Reb Meir, and Reb Meir says that if this animal is suffering from achizas adam, so you can bloodlet, but only in a place where it won't make the animal a blemished animal. Now the Chachamim say, you can make a blemish on the animal, even if it's going to be a permanent blemish, but you can't check the animal over this blemish, because that's a blemish that you made, and you're not allowed to check a bechor over such a blemish. It has to happen naturally, organically. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, af nishchad al osam mum. Now Rabbi Shimon says he could shecht it even over that mum. And finally, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda, same Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, which is afilu meis emekizin laos adam. Even if the animal is going to die, you can't touch the animal. Okay, so we have here in this Braisa, Ad Kan, that's the end of the Braisa, four opinions. Rav Meir, Chachamim, Rabbi Shem, and Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah, we were only treated to three opinions, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Shimon. Yeah, so the Braisa's Rav Meir is our Mishnah's Chachamim. Okay, all well and good. Okay, wait. Masni le Rebbe Lazar lebrei v'amri le Rebbe Chiya lebrei k'machlokas kan k'machlokas b'chavishol Truma. Now, there's a Mishnah in Trumos, 8th Perek of Trumos. There's a Mishnah in Trumos. So it's funny, we don't learn Zrayim, but every now and then we get treated to a smattering of Mishnayos here and there. So in the 8th Perek of Trumos, there's a Mishnah over there that details the following. Chavishol Truma, you have a barrel of Truma, the grapes, olives, whatever's in the barrel, Shinola bo safik tuma, it has a possibility of being tummy. It's a suffix. We don't know. We think something happened. We're not exactly sure what exactly happened. So right now, this barrel now is officially in the state of suffix. Now, if your truma is tame, done. Meaning a Kohen's not allowed to eat it. If it's oil, the Kohen can use it as illumination. He can get benefit from it. But in other words, truma tamea, we know exactly what to do with it. If the truma is not tame, opposite of tame being tahor, so then the Kohen's going to eat it. Now here, suffix is terrible. It's like the worst place to be. You're in total limbo. Because I can't destroy it, it may be tahor. I can't eat it, it may be tame. So it's in total limbo. So the last thing you want is to be in that state of suffix. Really. So what do you do? So there are three opinions over here. And what the Gemara is going to try to do is coordinate the three opinions that we're going to see now in this Mishnah in Trumos with what we've seen in our Mishnah in Becharos. First, let's get familiar with the positions. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Im Haisa B'makam HaTorfa Yenicher B'makam HaMutzna, Im Haisa Magula Yichasena. So first you have Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar says, protect it. Meaning, do something actively to protect it. Right now it's in a state of suffix. I don't want it to get any worse. So if it's exposed, cover it. If it's in a compromised position, put it in an uncompromised position. Meaning, take care of it. Rabbi Yoshua says opposite. Exact opposite. Rabbi Yoshua says, put it in a compromised position. Right? Expose it. Meaning, you know what? Right now, it's in this limbo state. You can't, in other words, you can't be metar it. So really, the only thing that we'd want right now is to be, for it to be vade tame, or tamea, if you want to be a grammarian.
Private domain or public domain?
Meaning, what? Well, he says, makam atorfa versus makam.
Right.
Makam amutzna.
In a public versus private.
Understood. I'm with you. Just right now, just the basic idea of, I want it to become tame, and I can even do so. I can't actually make it tame. But I can allow it more exposure. I can put it in a position where it can be more susceptible to tumah. And then finally, Rabbi Gamliel, Amar lo yichadesh bo davar. Now, Rabbi Meir says, do nothing. Do nothing. Leave it alone. Okay, now, the Gemara is going to do all the heavy lifting for us. Okay? Good. What we're going to do now is try to coordinate. This is going to require thinking. Try to coordinate these three opinions in the Mishnah and Truma with our Mishnah in Becharos. So, Rav Meir k'Rav Elazar. So we're going to go like Rav Meir, and we're going to align Rav Meir and Rav Elazar. Now, what was the Rav Elazar of our Mishnah? Rav Elazar of our Mishnah says... Sorry. What does Rav Meir of our Mishnah say? Rav Meir of our Mishnah says... which Rav Meir are we working with? The Braisa? No, I'm sorry. Rav Meir of the Braisa. Okay.
Yeah.
The first opinion of the Braisa. No. What are you talking about? The Mishnah Truma? You talking about by us? The opening Braisa of the Gemara. The Tanur Rabbanan. That's Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says that you're allowed to make a mum, but only in a right. Right, you can make a puncture, but not a permanent blemish. So Rav Meir is holding like Rav Elazar. Now Rav Elazar says, that you got to protect it. So in other words, okay, if we're going to align the two, you can't let anything bad happen. Okay, that's a common denominator of Rav Meir and Rav Elazar. You cannot allow anything bad to happen. Okay, next. Rabbanan ka Rabbi Yoshua. Now the Chachamim holds like Rabbi Yoshua. Now the Chachamim is the position is that it's okay, make a blemish. And Rabbi Yoshua says, put it in a compromised position. Put the Truma in a compromised position. Basically, you can allow something bad to happen. Okay? Either the animal to get a mum or the Truma to become tummy. And finally, Rabbi Yehuda is like Rabbi Gamliel. Now, Rabbi Gamliel is the do not touch it. In other words, in a state of suffix, leave it in a state of suffix. Rabbi Yehuda is also, don't touch that animal. That animal right now is suffering. It has a chizas dam. Just don't touch it. Okay. So this is the alignment attempt of the Gemara. Now, everyone knows, you've been with me long enough in Daf Yomi, you know where we're going with this discussion. In other words, although there is an attempt, there's a sophisticated attempt to try to align a Mishnah Truma and a Mishnah Becharos and trying to make a common thread of thinking between the two Mishnayos, what the Gemara is now going to do is point out that you're misunderstanding what's the basis of understanding of the Mishnah Becharos and what's the basis of understanding of the Mishnah Truma. Mimai. So the Gemara says, here I can make the following divisions. Ad kan lo kama Rav Meir hasam deka, or let's correct, Rav Meir hacha deka avi biyadayim. Ava hasam de grama karabi Yoshua svirale. Look, Rav Meir over here, right, by the case of the Bechor, you're actively doing something with your hand. Right? So you're doing a biyadayim. So what Rav Meir will tell you not to do is don't handle something biyadayim. In the case of Truma, you're not being mitami the Truma. All you're doing it is you're putting it in a position where it's more open and subject to Tumah. But you're not actually being mitami with your daim. So you can't see how maybe Rav Meir would agree with Rav Yoshua. That's number one. V'adkan lo kamer Rav Elazar hasam ela shema yavo eliyavi terenu. Now, Rav Elazar in the Mishnah Truma says that protect it. Yeah, you know why? Because something good may happen. Eliyahu Navi is going to come. Bimhera bi'ameinu. And Rabbi Elazar will tell us, I'm sorry, Rabbi Elazar. And Eliyahu will tell us, what is the status of this? Right? Any suffix which we have, Eliyahu will correct the suffix. Okay? So there is at least a possibility, an opportunity that things will get better over here with the Truma. V'alhacha. Dishavik le'mais k'rabban s'rilei. But as far as our situation right now, if you leave it alone, the animal will die. So maybe Rabbi Elazar will tell you, not the same. Not the same. V'adkan lo kamer Rabbanan hachadi shavik le'mais aval hasam shama yavo le'avi yitarenu. And now the Gemara continues along the same line. As far as the Chachamim are concerned, the Chachamim say, go ahead, put a blemish in. Sure, put a blemish in, because the animal is about to die. So put a blemish on the animal. But over here, when it comes to the Truma, Shemu Yavo Eliyahu, Eliyahu may come. So he may agree with Rabbi Yitarenu. So Kerabi Elazar Sfirulei, so maybe he's going to hold like Rabbi Elazar, which is protected. And the Adkan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda hacha deka avi biyadayim, ava hasa de garama Kerabi Yoshua Sfirulei. Now, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, Rabbi Yehuda says don't touch the animal because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want you to do something actively with your hands. But in the case of Truma, I'm not doing anything active. I'm putting it in a compromised situation, but I'm not actually being metame it. Now, Rabbi Gamliel's position of don't touch it is because Eliyahu may come. But over here, the attitude of don't touch the animal will result in the death of the animal. So it's not just to leave it alone, because if I leave it alone, the animal's going to die. Okay, so... No. The only thing we can hope for is heter asfekos, meaning, okay. Now that's so. In other words, so what we've done this was the Gemara performed surgery, minor surgery over here. What we've done is we pointed out that for various reasons, right, mostly have to do with active versus passive. You could see how the two Mishnayos don't coordinate. The Mishnah Becharos and the Mishnah Truma don't necessarily line up with one another because basically, our Mishnah Becharos is dealing with a dying animal. So the don't touch it attitude will lead to the death of the animal. In the case of Truma, my not touching it will lead to status quo, meaning it'll still be in a moment of suffix. So I really cannot coordinate. And now the Gemara, after performing minor surgery, is going to now perform major surgery, which is really, the whole Mishnah Becharos and the whole Mishnah Trumas are operating with two different principles. So the whole idea of comparing the two is not even, there's no real basis for comparison. And more than that, just the basis of the debate is different. Look, let's start with the following premises. Mechametz achar mechametz. Back in Menachos, I take you back to the days that we learned Menachos together. So we learned that one of the prohibitions by a mincha is that I cannot turn it into chametz. The Torah says, lo se'afei chametz. There are exceptions, but the general rule by mincha is it can't be chametz. How about this? How about I kneaded the dough, and I kneaded it in a way where I allowed it to become chametz? Okay, so I violate this in the Torah. And then along comes another person and he bakes it. Each person is in violation of the Isser. Each person. So there is chimutz achar chimutz. There's an act of leavening after an act of leavening. Even though the dough is already leavened, my baking it will incur another penalty. Okay. And misaris achar misarishu chayev. And on top of that, by causing infertility to an animal. So even if I'm misaris after Sirus was done already, also will incur a liability. Dichsiv, wait, you'll see. Dichsiv umach v'kasus v'nasuk v'karus. So the Torah says, it gives us a number of different scenarios in terms of how you have mutilated, castrated, or cut off the genitalia of the animal. Specifically, we're talking about the basim of the animal. Ma'och kasus v'nasuk v'karus. Im al koreis chayav, al take lo koshke. Now, nesika is a total removing of the testicle, and karus is just a severing, okay, like a vasectomy. So now, if you're going to be liable for krisa, for just a severing, so the Torah has to then talk about netika, meaning that's a total removal. So, ela, Lahavino take acha kareshu chayev. So in other words, if I just sever, so that already incurs one liability, and then if I totally remove, that'll incur another liability. So there is a concept of sirus acher sirus. Lo nechluku ela b'matomum b'balmum. Okay, and here's where the action is at. The action is at where the animal's blemished, and I put a blemish in a blemished animal. This is where now we're going to have the discussion. And that's the underlying principle of our Mishnah over here. Achizas Adam is a blemished animal. Okay? I told you at the beginning of today's daf, perhaps we'll file this under Mum Over. Not Mum Kavua, but still. It's a blemished animal. And now the issue is, am I allowed to put a blemish on top of a blemished animal? Right, well, the mom that it currently has, right. Although, if I don't treat the achiz of Saddam, so the animal's going to die, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, I mean, there's always a good chance I'm wrong, but maybe the filing of this should be mom kavu and not mom over. I'm not sure. So, ela b'matu mom b'ba mom, right, mayor sever kol mom lo yeh bov rabban sarvi tamimi ala ratzon. Okay, and here's the fundamental debate of our Mishnah. Where Rameir is of the opinion, komum lo yiebo. You can't put any blemish on the animal. Focus on the word komum, any blemish on the animal. Now Rashi tells us that when it says komum lo yiebo literally means it shouldn't have. But the way Rashi understands the pasuk, lo yiebo lo yehebo. You can't make a blemish on the animal, and now focus on komum. You can't make any blemish on the animal. Even if the animal is already in a state of balmum, Torah says to you, komum lo yiebo. Don't make another blemish on the animal. So Rav Meir fundamentally is of the belief, of the opinion, that you can't blemish an animal even if it's already a pre-existing blemished animal. That's the Rav Meir position. And the Chachamim say, tamim yiyeh l'ratzon. And the Chachamim say, look, if it's a perfect animal, you can't blemish the animal. Once it's anything below the threshold of tamim, fair game. The animal's fair game. Rameir, high time him yell now. Okay? So that's the underlying debate of the Braisa. So, And so what Rame, it's good. So now, by the way, keep in mind that we're all focusing on the Braisa, meaning not the Mishnah. So when the Braisa presents the position of Rameir says, even if it's going to make a blemish, if it's going to make a blemish, you can't put it on. Right. Because Rameir is of the opinion that even though the animal already is blemished, it already is nechaz dam, but nevertheless, you can't put another blemish on. Whereas according to the Chachamim, fine, go ahead. You won't be able to eat it on account of this blemish, but there's no prohibition of putting a blemish on. Why? Because it's already a blemished animal. And once it's a blemished animal, it's no longer tamim, and therefore it's no longer in the threshold of kol mum lo yebo. Gemara is going to go through its typical accounting right now, in which, what does each do with the other's pasuk? Rameir, hi tamim yelav atzamay avi, let me buy a little mutiba momi karo. So Rameir says, what do I do with the tamim yiyu? That's if the animal is blemished from the very beginning. The Gemara says, I don't understand. If the animal is blemished from birth, it's congenitively blemished, so the animal didn't have kedusha. It's dekel ba'ama. It's a piece of wood. So the Gemara says it must be talking about psule hamukdashim, blemished. A carbon that had a blemish on it after you redeem it. But I might have thought, it's interesting, havamina, that look, the animal was a carbon. Kind of goes back to yesterday's discussion. Right? How do we treat it? How do we feel about this animal that was a carbon, got a blemish, and then I redeemed it? Like, where is it at status-wise? So the Gemara says, as a havamina, I might have thought it's still kadosh. I'll give you evidence, says the Gemara. You can't shear it. I can't work it. So I might have like a carbon type like status to it. And I might have thought that I can't put a blemish on the animal. Kamash Malan. So that's what the Torah is telling us, that no, such an animal, you're allowed to put a blemish on it. So the Gemara says, now what the Chachamim are going to do with Komum, Lagramahu Da'asi. What the Chachamim do with that pasuk is grama. Meaning, I'm not allowed to place a blemish on an animal. I'm not allowed to cause a blemish to come onto this animal. What does that mean? The Tanya. Mom lo yiebo, ain li ela shelo yitain bo mum. The Torah says, don't put a blemish on the animal, meaning don't actively put a blemish on the animal. Minayin shelo yavi devela uvatek v'nechenu ala ozen, kidei sheyavo kelev v'yochlenu. What a smart idea, which the Torah prohibits, right, according to the Chachamim. How about this? How about put a little bit of honey, right, or like a little, right, or a little fig, right on the ear of your bechor. Okay? The dog will come, dog will get attracted, dog will take a bite out of that fig. And take a little bite out of the ear. I'm the only one who's thinking about Mike Tyson, huh?
Oh, well, I'm still doing it.
You're causing it.
Now we're talking
right, but in halacha, though, Michael, we talk all the time in halacha about the difference between doing something and causing something to happen. Right? That's biyadim, and that's versus grama. Yeah, I understand you are violating the spirit of the law, but in halacha, all the time we make a distinction between actively and just grama. And what the Gemara now is saying is that according to the Chachamim, grama is usher by Hatalas Hamum. But it's not a general rule. In other words, it's localized to this particular issue in the Torah. The Torah just simply says you can't do it and you can't cause it. Okay. And it would seem, by the way, through this give and take of the discussion, that Rameir disagrees with that. I'm not saying that. I'm suggesting that. Meaning, because Rameir already applies the pasuk of kol mum lo yiebo to the prohibition of placing a mum on top of another mum. Right. Yeah, but the Gemara usually, if you're right, the Gemara usually continues the discussion to tell us where Rameir learns this halacha, and that's not happening over here. So, as a suggestion, Rameir may disagree with this principle. So, Tamalam kol mum acher. I'm sorry. Devel vazav v'nechen al ozen kadesh yavo kelav yachlenu. Tamalam kol mum acher echad mum ve'achar kol mum. Okay. Hacha bekray pligi. Okay, good. Now we're on the top of Lamed Aleph and Aleph, and now what we have done is we have gave, really, the underlying position in terms of what is going on by Bechor. What's the issue by Bechor? And now the Gemara laid it out beautifully. The issue by Bechor is that when the animal is an nechaz dam, it's suffering from this condensed blood, from this congealed blood, that's already a blemish. Am I allowed to place a blemish on an animal that's blemished? right? Sirus achar sirus we know, and chimitz achar chimitz we know. But this case over here, mum achar mum, is that okay? Is that not okay? That's the underlying machlokas between Ramei and the Chachamim. It's interesting because the Braisa gave us four opinions, and the Gemara over here really only discusses two. But those two really reflect the underpinning of the whole debate.
Would it make a difference if the original one is the mum omer and you're trying to make a kavua? You can't do that.
Right.
But how about if it's the other way around? It has a, if you call it a person's dam is mum kavua.
Right. Right. It would really advance. I know. It would so advance the discussion if I knew how to categorize the nech, the achizas dam. And look, and I'm thinking out loud right now. Meaning the Gemara doesn't need to discuss the other two opinions because Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, look, Rabbi Yehuda is a kenas. Right? I'm thinking out loud right now. Rabbi Yehuda is just a kenas, meaning Rabbi Yehuda is saying, don't touch the animal. That's not a fundamental position. That's just a, I'm afraid what you're going to do is you're going to put a blemish on the animal. So don't touch the animal. So he's a kenas. That's not a fundamental position. And Rabbi Shimon is just simply subscribing to what he normally subscribes, which is davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. So that doesn't really speak to the fundamental issue, what's going on over here. It's really Rav Meir and the Chachamim who are speaking to the fundamental issue of, am I allowed to put a blemish on a blemished animal? Okay, that's in the world of Bechoros. Now let's turn back to the Mishnah and Truma. And what we're going to discuss now in the Mishnah and Truma is what's the underlying debate over there. It's a totally different issue, says the Gemara. Hacha b'kray pligi. The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Yishlakish, V'chein Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua. Gemara quotes a lot of Amaraim that all speak to this idea. The Ani Hinei Nasati Lechaz, Mishmeres Truma Sai. I gave you the Mishmeres Truma Sai, Rabbi Lazar Savar. Now it says it, and I pronounced it correctly. I wouldn't have had I not seen the next line of Gemara. Rabbi Lazar Savar, B'shtei Truma Sakasa Medabri. It says Truma Sai, my Trumos, in plural. Achas Truma Tahor, Achas Truma Teluya. And the Torah is really referring to two different types of Truma. Not two different types, but two different states of Truma. One where your Truma is Tahara, and the Torah says protect it. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to protect Truma so that it doesn't become Tameh. And the other is Safek. Safek Truma, protect that as well. Huh? It's Safek, meaning it's Suffolk, meaning it may be Tameh, it may be Tahora. It's somewhere in the middle. It's in limbo. Protect that as well. And the Torah says, protect it. And that is Rabbi Elazar. Now, it is interesting. What the Torah is instructing us is that if I'm in a state of Suffolk, still you got to protect it. Meaning, how do we normally view Suffolk?
What's the Chazaka? The Chazaka was
Torah. It was Torah.
To begin with.
Right.
So right. Since there's a doubt, you could say the
that's interesting. Right? That's good. That's very good. Meaning it's not just a suffix, it's a suffix built on a chazaka. Platformed off a chazaka. That's very good. Chazaka is that it was tahora. And then something may have come into contact with it. I'm not sure. So now it's a suffix platformed on a chazaka. That's very good.
Huh?
I understand it's a suffix daraisa, but the chazaka is a chazaka daraisa. Right, so that's why I find this to be interesting, because now, according to Rabbi Lazar, and the way the Gemara is presenting it to us right now, Rabbi Lazar is telling us that the Torah is legislating Suffolk. So, right, usually the Torah says Suffolk. I mean, we're going to be Machmir of Suffolk, but, okay, I like Ben's suggestion. So, Rabbi Yeshua, Truma Siksiv. And Rabbi Yeshua's response is, you're right, when I lay it in Shul, I'll say Truma Sai. Otherwise, everyone's going to correct me. But just know this: when the Torah writes it, the Torah says Truma Si. So the Ksiv is in the singular. So it's only one Truma. It's only Truma Tahora, not Truma Teluya. Okay. This is the age-old debate of Yesh Eim LaMikra or Yesh Eim LaMisaris. What do we give more significance to? The way it's written, or the way it's pronounced? Right. age old debate. So, Lamemer, the Rav Lazar, Sovi Yesh Eim LaMikra. Now, what comes out now is that according to Rav Lazar, it's Yesh Eim LaMikra. That what's more significant, according to Rav Lazar, is the way it's pronounced. Yesh aim la mikra. So the right, because the way, the correct way to pronounce it in shul is trumasai. No, 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 no. The it's how to pronounce that last syllable of the word. It's either trumasi, which means my truma, singular, or trumasai.
But isn't it written the same?
Yeah, correct. But in other words, had I not had a misora of how to pronounce it, I would have said trumasi. Right. But trumasai, which is the correct way to pronounce it, that's part of the misora, right? That's yesh aim la mikra, meaning when you're kore, when you read it, how are you reading it? So there's a Masorah, there's a tradition to do that. So what Rav Elazar now is arguing, yesh aim lemikra. Masorah is how it's written. Okay? Again, age-old debate. As you go through Shas, you'll just see this comes up over and over again.
You would say Truma C.
Right? That's if they, that's yeah. Just by the spelling.
Right. Because but, if they should have another Vav in there to make it Truma.
Yeah. How to spell it if it's Truma sign? I'm not sure. I'm not the... Right, but the default, the Gemara's assumption is, and I'm not the grammarian, you know that, but the Gemara's assumption is that had I not had a Masorah, I would have written Trumasi. Okay, the remainder of the Gemara says, but here's the problem. Problem is that now you put Rav Elazar in the Yesh Aim LaMikra camp, and we know that Rav Elazar is not in the Yesh Aim LaMikra camp. How do I know that? The remainder Bevigdo Ba. Okay, now, selling off your daughters, okay? No chumashir. Okay, so here, let me just give me your gemara for just one quick moment. I know. No, it's fine. Right, in a pinch. Right, the art school gemara has a more updated. In other words, not the English side, but the gemara side. So he has psukim on the side. Right, imra be'inei adonai asher lo ye'ada. The hefte la amnachri lo yimsho la machra bivigdo ba. Okay? If she turns out bad in the eyes of her owner, and he did not perform the mitzvah of yi'ud, yi'ud is him marrying her. Meaning when you sell your daughter, really it should be for the purpose and intent of marriage. Okay? I know, culturally we don't relate to this anymore, but still the mitzvah satora is, right, sell her off, so that the owner could be miya'ed her, either the owner or the son of the owner. The hefde la amnachri lo yimsho la machra bivigdo ba. Once he is mebaged in her, right, so then he cannot sell her. So what we're looking, thank you, what we're looking at is for that, what's that critical point where he is mebaged? Okay, you know, just one second. So, you know, one of the shvatim that are born in, not last week's parsha, that was Vayeshev, but 2 weeks ago, and 3 weeks ago in Vayetzeh, one of the Shvatim that are born is God, right? You know what that means? God? Bagad, right? My husband rebelled against me. Why? It's unbelievable. Because this is a child that comes from the maidservant, right? So my husband rebelled against me. It's like your most typical Jewish marriage situation, where Leah tells him, you know, have a child through my maidservant, and then, you know, bagad, you're a bogade. You know, you rebelled against me. Okay. But the word begida means a rebellion. So, bevigda ba, kevin shapir shtaliso Allah shuvain rasha lamachra devir Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, not like what I just said, not bogade meaning rebelling, but beged meaning cloak. Once the owner has cast his beged over her. So the at that point in time, now that's the critical moment where he cannot sell her anymore. Right? The father no longer has the right to sell her anymore.
But the father already sold her to the owner?
Father already sold her once. Once the owner has married her, so that's it. You have now reached that point. Now the father no longer has a... Right, and obviously she comes back to the father. Father cannot sell her anymore. He loses that right. That is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar Amar Kevin Shabagad Ba Shuvanei Rasha LaMochra. And Rabbi Elazar says that no. Once he's mevaged, meaning once he, what does that mean? Rebel. Rashi Aviyah Shemachra LeShivka Shuvanei Rasha LaMochra. Meaning once the father sold her. Period. Done. In other words, the father has a one-time opportunity to sell his daughter, and that's it. That's considered be good. Right? In other words, if he married her off, so the father will get a second opportunity. But if he sold her, that's it. That's be good. That's being mevaged. Now, the Gemara over here doesn't fill in the dots. There's a couple of dots you need to fill in the Gemara, which is, what's the debate over here? How to understand the word big dough? And Rashi explains, Vamin and Hassam, the Gemara over there says, this is all in the first paragraph of Kedushin. Rabbi Akiva, karina, meaning for Rabbi Akiva, you got to listen to the way the word is pronounced. Bivigdo sounds like a beged. And right, and Rashi points out, some people get it wrong. But and according to Rav Elazar, yesh em lemesaris, you look at the way the word is written, not the way the word is pronounced. It's begida. It is rebellion. Once the father sells her, he no longer has the right to sell her. So in other words, we know that Rav Elazar is in the camp of yesh em lemesara, not yesh em lemikra. So now the Gemara is going to come back over here. Alahacha b'hai kamifugi. Rav Yehoshua sever harui lecha shmor v'sheinu harui lecha lo sishmor. Rav Elazar hanami ru'uyehi shema yavo aliyah v'yiterenu. So the Gemara says, look, Rabbi Yoshua's position is it fit for you? If yes, there's a mitzvah of Shmiras Truma. If it's not fit for you, there's no mitzvah of Shmiras Truma. It's that simple. And Rabbi Elazar says, let's look at the potential. Right now it's in the state of Suffolk. Eliyahu may come. Eliyahu may say it's okay. So you know what? It's in the state of fit for you. Potentially fit for you. So therefore you have to watch it. So the Gemara says, that's the Nekudah Machlokas. Okay, let's just finish up to the Mishnah. The remaining part of today's daf is how we paskin. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara quotes the name of Shmuel, that the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon, Dav Shana Miskabin. Maskavar of Nachmar Yitzchak, hi Rabbi Shimon. Now, which Rabbi Shimon are you talking about? Ile Mer Shimon de Mas Nisen, Ad Hashalo Ashmin and Shmuel, Dav Shana Miskabin Mutter. So what do you mean? Rabbi Shimon of the Mishnah? But we already know that Shmuel subscribes to the Davashin and Miskabin as Mutter phenomena. Rav Chia bar Ashi Amar Rav Halachi Rav Yehuda. Rav Chanin bar Ashi Amar Shmuel Halachi Rabbi Shimon. Rav Chia bar Avin Masni below Gavre. Rav Chia bar Avin teaches us the same thing, but without giving us the other Amorayim. Rav Amar Halachi Rav Yehuda. Shmuel Amar Halachi Rabbi Shimon. So we already know that the Halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon. El Rabbi Shimon de Braisa. So when we say the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon, we mean that the Rabbi Shimon of the Braisa, meaning we're going to add one other point. We all know that the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon, or at least Shmuel's position is the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon, Davashin and Miskaven is Mutter. That we all know. But we're going to make an additional point, which is, what did Rabbi Shimon say back in the Braisa? Af nishkad aloso mum. Not only can you make a blemish on this animal, but you can even shecht over that blemish. Meaning, you didn't intend to make a blemish, and now, moreover, now that the blemish is there, enjoy. Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi Masin La Beheja. I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmo Halacha Rabbi Shimon De Braisa. That is the conclusion. The Halacha Fazek Rabbi Shimon of the Braisa. Good. Okay. Very good sugya. Interesting. Question is: your animal now is suffering with achizas dam. The Mishnah provided us three opinions. The Braisa provided us four opinions. The Gemara wanted to try a lot to align the opinions of our discussion by Bechor to the Mishnah in Truma regarding Truma, which is Safek. The Gemara first pointed out how each position may not necessarily agree with the other. And then the Gemara says more fundamentally, they are two different issues, fundamental issues. And our Mishnah Bechor, the main issue is, can I put a mum on an animal that already has a blemish? The Mishnah Truma is, does the Torah requiring me to safeguard Truma that I'm not allowed to eat right now, even though it's not necessarily Tameh, I just simply can't eat. So there really are two different issues. And then finally, La Halacha, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Mutter, that's throughout Shas. Over here, we're paskin like Rabbi Shimon of the Braisa, which not only are you allowed to make a blemish, but you can even shech the animal based on the blemish that you yourself made, because you weren't Miskaven, because you weren't intent.